Friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace are given to you this day from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. These gifts come to us freely by His Holy Spirit. As we come into His presence today, we are ascending to a mountaintop today to be with the Lord, to spend these minutes, but we're not going to stay here, are we? We're going to head back down the mountain, and we're going to start our lives back over again as we, together with the disciples, go about this mission of Christ in the world. It is a pleasure and an honor to be with you today. Thank you especially to Pastor Scott for letting me come. And yeah, we're headed to Frankfurt. Tomorrow is the flight, and we're off and going. So thanks for being the last congregation I get to spend time with. This is a great joy and honor. I actually worked here about 25, almost 30 years ago. Raise your hand if you remember Pastor Jerry Mitchell. Yeah. Pastor Mitchell was my pastor over at Concordia on Lake Avenue, and then when he came over here, I got to work with him before I went to seminary, so a little grayer than before, but very familiar faces. Thanks for letting me come back. This is Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration Sunday is the end of the season of Epiphany. It is the end of the season of light. Epiphany is also the season of mission, as we find out that Christ is not the Messiah just for a certain group of people, but the revelation is that Christ is for all people. All people. And of course, Epiphany starts with the Magi. Remember, all the way back after Christmas, the wise men are coming from the east and they're following the light. They're following the star. And as they head towards the star, they're heading towards their Messiah, whether they realize it or not. And of course, there was an understanding at the time that the Messiah was only going to be for one group of people, the children of Israel, the Jews. But God had a different plan in mind. And as these wise men from the east who were not children of Israel, who were not of Jewish descent, as they come and they worship, we find that Christ is for all people of all races, of all nationalities, of all languages. And that's the revelation that we have during this season of Epiphany. Now, I have no Israelite blood in my family that I know of, but I know this, the blood of Christ covers all my sins. And the same goes for you. We are here because of this revelation that Christ is for all people. And we're going to find that out again in this day as we find this day of transfiguration where Christ's holiness is on full display and it's a stark contrast to the sinfulness that we carry in our hearts. Now, in order to understand the transfiguration, in order to wrap our minds around this, I don't want to just handle this one story of the transfiguration. I'd like to back up just a little bit and give you a little bit of the context of how this story gets a running start and what it is that we are differentiating between. On the one hand, the glory of Christ, and on the other, well, let's look to the disciples and see how this story plays out. So in Matthew chapter 16, if you want to go home and read the whole story, it actually begins about halfway through the chapter, and this is the context. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am? Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And the disciples have a response, because they like most of us, are listening to what other people say. If you study the Bible, you find that the disciples are kind of gossips. They really know what the hubbub is on the street. So they know what people are saying about Jesus. And so they say, well, some say John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist had died by beheading. Some say he came back to life in Jesus. We know that's not true. Well, some say Elijah. And some say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Again, prophet from long ago. But here's the issue. Who do you say that I am? Jesus says. And that's a question for each and every one of us. Who do you say Jesus is? Now we can, in the context of this worship service and in the safety of this room, we can stand up and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived, who died, who rose again. But does that answer come out in our daily life? Does the answer to this question come out in the things that we do, the relationships that we keep, the decisions we make? What's your answer to this question? Who do you say Jesus is? Is he just a teacher? Is he a guru? Is he just someone to be followed? Or is he more than that? Is he your personal savior? And is he the savior of the world? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Oh, what an answer. What an answer. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. But this has been a gift given to you by the Holy Spirit. And we know that, don't we? We know that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called us by faith. He's enlightened, he's equipped, he's sanctified. He gives us faith. This isn't something we generate in ourselves. So like with Peter, we have been given a great gift. We've been given the gift of faith. Who do you say that I am? I confess to you that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature. He's purchased and won me, not with silver or gold, but with his holy, precious blood. And in fact, I have more than that. He's done the same for you. This is our witness to the world. And from that time on, Jesus began to explain to them, yes, this is true. I have been sent from the living God. I am the Son of God. And even more than that, I have come to fulfill what was promised from long ago. You heard about the blood? Oh, that was just a prefiguring. That was a foreshadowing of what is about to come when I suffer and die for you, Jesus says. Follow the blood. Follow the blood. Take this seriously. This is a sign all the way from the beginning of time when Cain kills Abel and Abel's blood cries out to heaven. Follows all the way through the Old Testament when we have the animal sacrifices. It finds fulfillment in Jesus Christ, and thank God for that, because you don't need to shed your blood. Doesn't need to happen. Christ has done it for you. You have a Savior. But Peter doesn't like that. Peter, buoyed up by his really great answer, pulls Jesus inside and says, oh, no, this is never going to happen. No, this is never going to happen because I've got your back, Jesus. As if Jesus needs Peter's back, right? What a guy. What a guy Peter is. But he shows us ourselves. No, Jesus, this will never happen to you. Far be it. And you remember what happened in the garden, right? When Jesus was betrayed, what did Peter do? At least he was a man of his word. Do you remember? Pulls out his sword, lops the ear off of one of the guards. Peter, you're this close. And he gets it all wrong. He shows us our own hearts. But Jesus turned and said, stop. Hush now. Peter, stop. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. Peter was always putting the cart before the horse. Let's not condemn Peter. We do the same thing. We'll get to that in a minute. But Peter shows us our heart. Christ is going to show us something different. Jesus turns and says, you need to get behind me. You don't have in mind the things of God, the things of man. So within this context of Matthew 16, as we're heading into this wonderful passage in Matthew 17, you have this context of the fallen heart, the sinful heart, the egotistical heart, and yes, the prideful heart. This is not a heart that will glow. This is a heart that is dark and fallen. This is a heart that you probably have on display from time to time, and then you recognize it and you want to hide it. Again, like Adam and Eve in the garden, right? And once they had eaten the fruit, they realized that they were naked, so they hid. Peter shows us the heart that we want to keep covered up. Christ shows us a holiness that we cannot make for ourselves. That's the context here. So I give you this warning. Sinfulness is lurking at our door. We need to keep our wits about us, because if we are going to confess Christ, first we need to confess something about ourselves, and that is, we are sinful. We sin in thought, word, and deed. In fact, we are so full of sin, we can't even free ourselves. This is not a make yourself better before you present yourself to Christ moment. This is, I am dead in sin, and I need somebody to resurrect me. I need somebody to give me something I don't have in myself. Because the more I look at myself, the more I see, not only don't I measure up, I'm not even in the same league. I'm not even playing the same sport as Christ. I'm off doing my own thing. That's the context here. Let's move then into where Christ is going to give us something different. Before we get to the transfiguration, the parting words in chapter 16 are, you need to deny yourself. You need to deny yourself. If you are going to be a follower of Christ, the first step is to deny yourself, to pick up your cross, to follow him. Deny yourself. Now, after 6 days, with that teaching in mind, Jesus is going to take Peter, James, and John, and he's going to ascend one of the hills there in Caesarea Philippi, which is a beautiful setting. Rocky hills and clefts and cliffs and waterfalls, wonderful place. He's going to ascend the mountain, and there before them, he is going to be transfigured. While he's still speaking to them, behold, a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud says, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." That sounds very much like what we heard at the baptism of Jesus. Remember that from the season of Epiphany? But then the Father says something more. What does he say right at the very end? Do you see it? 3 words in English. Say it out loud. What does he say? Listen to who? Who's him? You better believe it. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And what did he just say? If you're going to follow me, deny yourself. Pick up the cross and follow me. Listen to him, folks. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they were terrified. Well, you would be too. You're up there on the mountain, and just like that, it's covered in fog and smoke. You know something holy is going on. And then a voice comes. Oh, and by the way, there is Moses and Elijah with them, two people who had been dead. But Jesus comes over and he says, Jesus' words, peace, right? Have no fear. Stand up. Stand up. Rise. Have no fear. Jesus is a Savior who brings us peace, not like the world gives. But he gives us everlasting peace. And when they lifted up their heads, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now, this is the first mark of faith, when you see Jesus only. Remember the other story of Peter when he steps out of the boat? You know this story, right? And he's doing so well because he has his eyes fixed on who? Jesus. But then he turns and he looks, and what does he begin to see? The storms and the waves, and he takes his eyes off Jesus. What happened? He begins to sink. Remember Jesus' words there? Peace. He has Peter's back. He doesn't need Peter to have his back. Jesus only. So the opposite of the way we live is Jesus laying down his life for others. Right? Jesus free from pride. Jesus free from sinfulness. Jesus free from ego. Jesus full of love, and a love that lays down his life for others. And this makes a difference in Peter's life. This makes a difference. Peter himself writes in the letter, 2 Peter chapter 1, we did not follow cleverly devised myths like the Greeks do with, and the Romans with their Zeus and their pantheons. No, we made known to you the living God, Jesus Christ. Why? Because we were eyewitnesses to his majesty. We saw it with our own eyes. And not just on the mountain, but we saw it in the cross, the man in the middle that you just sang about. We saw it in the resurrection, and now we make it known to you. Peter goes on in 1 Peter 3, and he says, in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Set apart Christ as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that's in you, but do it with gentleness and respect. You see, whenever we have faith, it immediately comes out in witness. And that's the mission of God in this world. It begins with Christ. It continues with our repentance. And then it finds fulfillment as we bring others to a living relationship. And that happens in Fort Wayne. It happens, I can attest to it, it happens just north of you on 69 here, up in Fremont and Angola. We even reach out to people from Ohio. Oh boy. No, I'm just kidding. We're reaching out to everyone. Why? Because what's the revelation of Epiphany? Christ is for all people. All people. That means we open our mouths. The first thing that we do, though, is we confess our fallenness and our sinfulness. The second thing we do is we say thank you. And the third thing that we do is we say, now let me tell you about what I just received from God. First we repent. Then we say thank you. And then we invite others. Now you've heard that all the way. I actually listened to your sermons in preparation for this. It was a good sermon a couple weeks ago. I'll get to that in a moment. But you are asking people to point to Christ, right? You are asking them to invite. Please remember that you are not asked to explain the majesty and the mystery of God. But what you are asked to do is first, repent. Second, it will remain a mystery. You are asked to repent of your self-centeredness, and then you are asked to tell others, to invite, right? Pastor Scott said it better. Point, invite, bring. It's so simple. But the first step is why we have the season of Lent, why we start with Ash Wednesday. Because before we point, before we invite, before we bring, what do? We repent. We repent. Far too often we don't open our mouth, and the moment passes us by. Please pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we do confess your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. We accept the faith that you've given to us through your Holy Spirit. You have woken us up from the death of sin. And you have given us new life because of what Christ has done. We confess that far too often we make things about ourselves. We live in a way that is full of pride and ego. We are too worried about what other people think and not concerned with your thinking, your ways. We are filled with the things of men, but we are not filled with the things of God. We thank you for the story of the transfiguration, the holiness of Christ that will be given to us in heaven one day. And even now, we live in the hope and the assurance of that resurrection life. Lord, send us from this place fully forgiven, fully ready to engage in your mission, your ministry, your outreach to the world, so that no matter who we come across in this week, we would be able to give a defense for the hope that we have. Lord, don't let our faith consist only in this room, but let it subsist in you and let it find expression each and every day. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.